And let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. As we continue in the Psalms, we look at the forgiveness of God. We look in this psalm as well at the psalmist seeking to bring the truth of God's word to bear on sinners. So let us read together the word of God from Psalm 39. Let us hear together the word of God. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. And then spake I with my tongue, the Lord make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. They heap up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as my fathers were. O, spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's word this morning, as we open it, we are called by God's word to consider our days. To consider how short they really are. But as we look at this, the focus of the psalmist in speaking about this isn't just on himself. The focus is outward. He was trying to keep his mouth shut so that he wouldn't sin, we read in these first verses. And yet his heart burned within him. And it burst out of him, if you will. Teach me, O Lord, to know how long my life is, to know, to number my days. And yet, even as the psalmist considers that he was trying to be quiet, thinking he was doing something good, he was dumb because God was keeping him shut because of his sin. And so, brothers and sisters, sometimes we may wonder why we can't open our mouths about things. It's time to look at ourselves, at our sins. But what does the psalmist do about this? Certainly he has the sanctified desire to speak the gospel. He has the sanctified desire to keep his mouth from sin. But at that same time, we need to consider our sins and to turn to God for forgiveness for them. To call upon the Lord for forgiveness, to repent, which means more than just saying, I'm sorry, God. But to repent means to turn around, to stop doing that which is sinful, to turn from our sins. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see, and perhaps it's inadequate, but it always is that God's people pray for and trust in God's forgiveness. God's people pray for and trust in God's forgiveness. We look at the first three verses, we see the psalmist attempting to restrain sin, and that sometimes ends in restraining good as well. In verses 4 through 6, we need to know that knowing the frailty of life and the vanity of riches is very important for us and for all human beings. And in verse 7 through 13, we see that our hope, even in God's rebuke, is in God's mercy. God's people pray for and trust in God's forgiveness. First of all, we see that attempting to restrain sin sometimes ends in restraining good. Elsewhere, the Solomon in Proverbs says that where the stall is empty, it's clean. But much work is done by the power of an ox. Sometimes the ox makes a mess. Guess what? Things get done when the ox is there. If we don't do anything, we're not making a mess sometimes. And there's a lot of that in this first section here. We need to understand that we're not going to do it right perfectly every time. Sometimes we're going to make a pretty good mess of it. But if we think we're going to do better by just keeping our mouth shut, we got something else coming. He says, I wanted to restrain my mouth from evil. He had a sanctified, a good desire to guard his ways. But that became overgoing. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have to be careful. And we know what James says about the tongue. We need to be very careful about our tongues. But that doesn't mean we shut our mouths and keep them absolutely mute and silent. He says, I put a muzzle on my mouth, a bridle. While the wicked were before me, in the presence of those who are against God, the psalmist says, I tried to keep my mouth shut because I didn't want to speak something remiss, wrong. And this becomes a missed opportunity to speak the truth, the gospel of God. I held my peace, we read in verse 2, even from the good. I was mute with silence. I was dead silent. I held my peace even from good. I didn't speak at all because I was afraid of speaking something that wouldn't be perfect. And yet, he says, my sorrow was stirred up. I was made sorrowful by the fact that I didn't speak anything good. My heart, verse 3, burned within me. It burned with fire to speak good, to speak the gospel. And as a Christian, it burst out of him. It could do no other. And what was it that burst out? It wasn't the classical that so often comes out of the church, Jesus died to save you. Or even the more accurate, biblical, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The gospel bursts out, taking a look at the vanity of life. And this is an important, I think, perspective that we need to consider as a church, using in the world around us. We have a world that runs after vanity, runs after grabbing riches, the things of this world. And we need to understand something about this world. And that's what we see in our second point. Knowing the frailty of life, knowing the vanity of riches. Teach me to know my end, to know the measure of my days, we read in verse 4. And he comes up with three very important questions. Teach me to know my end, to measure my days, to know how frail I am. What's my end? Dust. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. To measure them. How long do I have left? How frail I am. Is my time really worth spending all of it in front of the football game this afternoon? We have a culture that runs after all this junk. More importantly, than the truth of the gospel. Every man at his best is but a vapor. He answers his questions. My days are as handbreadth. They're short. It's not a real big measure, is it? How wide your hand is. My age is as nothing before the Lord. Not only are the days short, and you know this better than I do, there aren't too many of them left. I don't care how young you are or feel. My age is as nothing. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 12. For who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life which he passes like a shadow. And who can tell a man what will happen to him, happen after him under the sun? I, at my best state, the psalmist says, am but a vapor. I'm not going to last very long here. Then he goes on to talk about riches. He who heaps up riches does not know who will gather. So, life's short. Live fast, have a beautiful corpse. Is that what he's saying? No. Life's short. There's more to this than just living here. Gain as much as you can. Live for the weekend. And the weekend's never long enough. What do we do here? What's important? If my life is so short, is it gathering riches? We're but a shadow. We busy ourselves in vain, heaping up riches. Who's going to gather them? Who's going to get them when I die? Will it be a fool? Ecclesiastes 2:21. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. Every one of us is going to die. There's a couple of questions that are important to ask ourselves then when we consider this. Where is my money going when I die? Is it going to people who are going to be using it for the glory of God? These are important questions, and not easy ones. But we need to... This is not just for us to consider. These are very important and very good methods for us, by God's grace, to ask those around us. What are you doing on this earth? Is that weekend really good enough? Is what you're running after really that important? What's going to happen when you run out of it? When that vapor of your life goes away. We like to hide it. Push away the idea that every one of us is going to die. Oh, it's a long way away, yet I don't have to worry about that. till we're confronted with it. You know, that's very important that we're confronted with it. That's why the psalmist, there's so many of these psalms that remind us of this. Whether it be us personally, or as David is here, saying, hey, those who don't believe, this is an important way to call them to look at the important things of this world instead of just, hey, next thing on the list, what do I get next? The law of diminishing returns. And yet, this psalm reminds us of God's rebuke on us. And that's what we look at in verses 7 through 13. Deliver me out of my transgressions. The focus has been outward, and yet introspective, looking at ourselves. Deliver me from my transgressions. Our hope, even in God's rebuke, is in God's mercy. What am I waiting for? Why am I keeping silent? Why am I living a quiet life? Our hope is in God. Psalm 42, verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance in my God. And we as Christians need to rely on God for deliverance from our transgressions. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up. Even when we're trying to be a witness to those around us, we're not going to get it right. We need God's mercy and His grace to use our stuttering, our stumbling. Hey, brothers and sisters, let me start right here. If you think I get it right every Sunday morning, you've got something else coming. My stuttering, my stumbling, I pray that God would use. And I fail and fall so many times, you don't even begin to know. And so we rely on God and we pray, the end of verse 8, do make me not the reproach of the foolish. Bringing reproach on God. If I fall and someone gets all about it, and it so often happens, you think about these guys who were TV evangelists and all this junk that brings great shame on God's church. This needs to be a prayer of every one of us. That my foolishness, my sinfulness would not bring reproach on the great King above all gods. Because I'm a sinner too, brothers and sisters. And every one of us needs the grace of God. It is a great danger and something that needs to be on our hearts and on our minds regularly in our prayers. That we would not be a reproach. We need to rely on God's forgiveness. We need to rely on His deliverance. But very interesting, and there's much that can be brought out of this in verse 9 and following. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because Thou didst it. And why? We read that in the following verses. Remove Thy stroke away from me, verse 10. I am consumed by the blow of Thine hand, when Thou with rebukes dost correct. Why are we mute? Because of our sins. Because of God's correction on our sins. We need to be more careful about our sins. Where did that muteness that we talked about in verses 1 and 2 come from? It came from God. It was you who did it because of my sin. And so we need to go to God and pray that He would remove His plague, His correction, His rebuke from us because of our iniquity. We're vapor, remember? We're vanity. heard a story about a man that rings so very true. All the money he had, he got a disease he couldn't be cured from. We're all going to die. We don't know how, we don't know when. That's in God's hands. What are we doing with our life here? With our time here? It's so powerful what the psalmist cries out to God in verses 12 and 13. He calls out to God to look away from our sin. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. I'm a stranger, I'm a sojourner. We call to God to hear, to protect, despite our sins. I'm a stranger, as my fathers were, he says. As all Christians truly are, I'm not different. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And verse 13, oh, spare me that I may recover my strength. The New King James puts it this way, remove your gaze from me. Which is one of the few times I think the New King James does a little better job. If God looks and very carefully examines every one of our sins, we're in trouble. The psalmist says, spare me. Forgiveness, but far more than that. Don't look on me with perfect scrutiny. Before I fall away, who can stand before God's perfect scrutiny? As we said, we're not going to be perfect. When we're trying to witness concerning salvation, we're going to fail. We're going to mess it up. Brothers and sisters, we're not then just supposed to keep our mouths shut and say, I might mess up. We're to call on God for forgiveness. We're to call on God for His grace, for His uplifting, upholding, trusting in His forgiveness when we do fail. And yet, even before we get to that point, we need to go to God for forgiveness. Because we know we're not perfect. We're sinners. And we know that we are so often enticed by the vanity of this world, by the things which are pretty and shiny, instead of the most important thing, which is the grace of God and salvation. And so we pray for and we trust in God's forgiveness. We don't trust in our perfection. That'd be useless. We don't trust that, hey, I'm going to get it absolutely right. We trust in God's forgiveness as we go about the duties which He calls us to do as His children. Amen. Let us rise and bow before the Lord in prayer, and we will close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Our gracious and our merciful Heavenly Father, indeed we pray for Your forgiveness. We pray, O Lord, that You would not examine closely our sins, but that You would forgive us, for we are indeed strangers and sojourners here on this earth. And we are amazed that we can count ourselves Your children. And so, O Lord, we come and we pray that You would bless us with forgiveness, for our sins, that you would turn us from our sins with true repentance. And that you would bless us, that as you call us to bring this gospel, this good news, to those who have not heard, we pray, O Lord, that you would bless us even though we will fail, even though we will not bring it perfectly. You would bless your word to call souls to yourself through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless us as your children. You would guide us to give glory in all things to our gracious Savior. That we might not seek after the vanity of this world, but indeed that we might show others that there are things far more important. And we pray this only for the sake of our Savior, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.